very familiar story. One of my favorites, probably.
So Joshua 6, we'll look at the whole chapter. I don't know if you saw in your bulletin, the title was, I also have written down, say what, for the thought of that, because I think of, we understand the Battle of Jericho, we understand the details, we've heard them from the time we were little kids in children's church, Sunday school, how walk around the city, and on the very last day, walk around a lot more times, and then trumpets blow, you yell, falls down. I think of God telling Joshua that plan, and Joshua saying, but that's how I would have been. But anyways, today we're going to see the victory in Jericho, perhaps by the strangest method of war ever recorded. Think how strange this strategy is. Like, just in common sense, military strategery, crazy, out there, method of battle. Jericho, the city of Jericho, from what I've researched, from the stuff I read, this is the explanation or the description of Jericho. It was a city fortified by two walls. There was an outer wall that was 6 feet thick, big wall. Then there was an interior wall 12 feet thick, really big wall. Between those two walls, there was timber structures, and then houses would be built on those structures between these two big walls. So, interesting structure of a city, fortified very well. That's 18 feet of wall with houses sandwiched in between them. So, pretty safe. Besides all that, Jericho was built on a hill. It could only be overtaken by climbing up a steep hill. So if you're trying to overtake a city, that's tough. Just trying to catch elk running up a hill is tough. But now you got people shooting back at you. Tricky city to take. It left the intruders at a big disadvantage. The way these types of cities would be overtaken was that the enemy would put them under siege. They would surround them, not let anybody go in or out until we heard about that this morning. You're eating bird waste and donkey heads and your own children to stay alive. So that's how these cities were normally beat or defeated. But let's go ahead and pray, then we'll look at the Bible. We'll see a familiar story that we already know, but the application is wonderful. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for a chance to look into your word. Please give us understanding. Please help us to apply these truths to our lives. It's a story we're very familiar with. It's things we know. But I pray that you will help us to apply these truths, to not just be filled with the knowledge of the Bible, but to act upon that knowledge. Please work in all of our lives. Please help us today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So that's, they're under siege basically. They're locked in. Nobody's going out. Nobody's coming in. They are locked down. Verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So the Lord is going to give Joshua a promise here that I've given you this city. I've given you this land. You're gonna defeat them. I want you to reflect on, I think it was last week when we were in Joshua 5, when how the Lord is talking to Joshua. Because we were left last week where the Lord was talking to Joshua. We didn't really hear what he said besides take off your shoes. But so let's look at that. Joshua 5, verse 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So we remember Joshua seeing this man with the sword drawn. And I said, what are you doing going and approaching that guy with the sword drawn? Doesn't seem like a good idea. Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So we have God talking to Joshua here. Joshua falls on his face. Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So that's where we were left off last week. That's what's going on. God is talking to Joshua. Well, what's God going to tell Joshua? We just read it in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So, what's the Lord saying? He's saying, see. Did you see that in verse 2? And the Lord said unto Joshua, see. Well, Joshua's aware. He's alert. He's leading a bunch of people. But what is God talking about? He's saying, look intently at. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Take notice of this. I have given into thine hand Jericho. So it's a promise. It's done. I'm going to do this. It's going to happen. So God's telling Joshua, have confidence in me. I think that's very important preceding the instructions he's about to give Joshua on how to destroy this city. Because it's weird. It's not normal. Verse 3, we'll read verses 3 through 5. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So what are they supposed to do? Walk around the city once for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So God's telling Joshua this plan. And this is where I get the idea. Joshua is saying, what? Think of how Joshua could have responded. You know, I don't remember reading this in my How to Win Battles books. You know? That's impossible. I'm supposed to tell the army to do that? Right? He's God's messenger. He's relaying this. Could you imagine going to these mighty men of war and saying, all right, guys, I got the plan. You ready? We're going to silently walk around the city 13 times and then it's going to fall down when we yell and the trumpets blow. He could have said, they will think I'm crazy. Can we try plan B here? They could call for him to be stoned. He could have been thinking that. Right? That happened before when he spied out the land and came back with good report. They said, stone them with stones. They're crazy. We can't win that city. And here Joshua is again, faced with a message that ultimately could set him up to look crazy. But what do we have recorded? Joshua just starts giving orders to execute God's plan the way God had told him to. And I'm sure it was a little easier considering that they had just crossed the Jordan River, reflecting back on all the stuff that God had done in the wilderness for it. I'm sure that helped. Okay, God, I can trust you. So Joshua started giving orders to execute the plan the way God told him to. God had already promised victory. I think that's the key to understanding. Joshua's response wasn't, It was, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do what God wants. This method of battle would force the Israelites to trust solely on God and his promise. What military strength can they claim from walking in circles? It's all God. God, my confidence is in you. I'm just going to start walking around this city. So it made them have complete confidence in God. I also think it would drive the people of Jericho crazy. A week of looking down and watching this army walk around your city once a day, not whispering to each other, not talking to each other. They're just, it would drive me crazy. Like, what's going on? What's happening here? Let's look at verses 6 through 14. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the Ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout. So the Ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the Ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Verse 14, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. So what did they do? They did what they were supposed to do. Here's the order of the group walking around. The armed men, the seven priests with trumpets, the Ark of the Covenant, then the rearward. So that's the order that they're marching around this city. They went around once for the first 6 days. The trumpets blew, but the people kept quiet these first 6 days. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. So they go around the city 7 times on the seventh day. This is details. We know these details. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. So the seventh time, on the last day, they have gone around 13 times in total now. Joshua says, shout, God has given you the city. They had to patiently wait. They had to obey. They had to trust. I mean, imagine walking around a city, just waiting, just wondering, how are we going to win? How are we going to get this city? I can picture them. This is silly. We're walking in circles here. What is God doing? But they had to patiently wait. They had to obey. They had to trust. God could have taken the city. He could have wiped out the city on the first day, right? He's God. He could have done that. God didn't choose to do that. What did he make them do? Continue walking. Continue trusting. I don't know if they started doubting after a while, but they kept walking. We know that that's recorded. They kept obeying, whether it made sense or not. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So verse 17, the city is cursed. The people are cursed. What's that curse talking about? They're to be utterly destroyed. That's the definition of cursed, to be utterly destroyed. Only Rahab and those with her in her house are to be preserved. Remember that promise from earlier in our studies. Because of what she had done, she had kept the spies, kept them safe, sent them on their way safely. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So what did God just say was accursed of the city? The city is cursed, the people are cursed. It's to be utterly destroyed. What are the people to avoid keeping for themselves? Everything. So, altogether, avoid the accursed thing is what God says. He says you will curse yourself and you will curse the camp and you will bring trouble. We will see what that looks like next week. We're familiar with that story too, the story of Achan. Didn't work out so well for Achan. Verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So there are things that can be retrieved that aren't to be destroyed. It's the silver, the gold, the brass, and iron. But guess what it's not for? It's not for the people to put in their pockets and their tent and, you know, decorate their tent with this stuff. It's for God, to be put in the treasury of God. Verse number 20. Here's where it gets real good. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. What just happened? The walls fell down. They walked around. They shouted, the trumpets blew. God does his miracle. What happens? The walls fall down. Imagine the people's faces that had been walking around. Like, anybody ever seen a building imploded or on TV watched this old building just be blown up and it just falls? But imagine walking around and yelling, and my face would have been like, what just happened? I didn't know I could yell that loud. God just did a miracle, unexplainable, and they're standing there. I just like to imagine their faces. It ends up like, hey, Joshua, great plan. Good work. Good plan, God. The walls fall flat. The men rush the city. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. They utterly destroyed. That word there in verse 21, just an interesting fact, the utterly destroyed word, is the same exact Hebrew word used for the accursed thing that we talked about in verse 18. So we get the Bible defining itself right there. Verses number 22 and 23. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all their kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. So what just happened? Their promise. They kept their promise. They protected Rahab and all that was in her house, just like they had said they would. And I wonder how God did that, what special way God preserved Rahab. Because remember, her house was on the outer wall, and the walls came down flat. Somehow, she came out of that. And it's just God's protection there, God taking care of her, keeping the promise that was made. Verse number 24, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So they burned the city, they burned all that was left in it, but the stuff God told them to take out for him, for his treasury, they brought that stuff out. Verse number 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she did the messengers, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So not only did they spare Rahab did God spare Rahab, but for protecting the spies, but also he took care of her down the years. He took care of this lady we remember her faith that we saw. Then verse number 26. Very interesting verse. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So there's a curse for anyone who tries to, or who does rebuild the walls of Jericho. If you fast forward to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, we have the city being rebuilt, and we see the curse being fulfilled of it costing this man his sons, which is amazing. Because this is like 400 to 500 years later, and he still pays the price for disobeying God. Verse number 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Jehovah. The self-existent, eternal Jehovah. He is the one that was with Joshua. Joshua needed strength to do impossible things. Guess who was with him? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital Jehovah was with Joshua. That must have been such a reassuring thing for him. It gets no better than that, than having the self-existent eternal Jehovah with you. And Joshua's fame grew, right? Miracles had been happening under his leadership. You can, the people in the promised land, their hearts are melting, their courage is leaving them, and Joshua is leading them. And now Joshua's fame is growing and growing. Can imagine the voice, the words going around, don't mess with Joshua, God is with him. And then we reflect back to Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. In Joshua 1, we find Joshua with the promise. The same Jehovah Lord promised to be with him. Now we see all the way in chapter 6, he had just won an impossible battle, and God had done everything for him. God had used him to win this battle. So, application time. We can have the same confidence in God that Joshua had. We still have the same exact Jehovah God. And we can carry that confidence that Joshua had. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The idea of I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, guess how long that is. Never, ever, 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 ever. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Then in verse number 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Boldly is confident or courageous. We can have complete confidence in God. God proved himself faithful to Joshua. We'll find over and over again. God has promised to be faithful to us so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. If God could knock down a huge walled fortress in a crazy way and protect his people, provide for his people, don't you think we can have some bold confidence in our God? Same God. Sometimes our situation can leave us saying, huh? Does life ever make you say, huh? You ever feel that way? Day-to-day stuff. What is going on here? We can trust God in those situations too. Isn't that a reassuring thing? Amen. But it's tough at times. We struggle with that sometimes. How can I figure this out? What can I do? But we have a God that could knock down a huge city, and we're trying to figure stuff out on our own. Let's boldly go to God with confidence. We must trust in God in these times. Let God work. He is God. That self-existent, eternal God, let's trust in him and let's let him work. When you come to that moment enter it confidently and courageously. Trust God. We can have that confidence in God. And I know we're all faced with different things. Our lives are much different from each other in specific details. But we have the same God who cares about all of our needs individually and is there for us. We can have confidence in Him. So I want to encourage you today that God will never, ever, ever, ever leave us. And we can boldly go to Him. We can confidently go with Him. He is good. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for another example from your word of how great you are. You are so great. Words can't even describe how wonderful you are. And yet you choose to love us, to care about us on an individual, relational level. I thank you so much for that. I pray that we will consider you this week, that we will be who you want us to be, that we'll say what you want us to say, and that we'll do what you want us to do. Please help us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.